The Love's Reach Red warranty is simple. We cover the Reach Red encasing for the full life of the Reach Red. With over 430 locations, Love's Truck Care and Speedco network is committed to providing a tire program to meet your needs. Visit loves.com to learn more about our Reach Red warranty.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Transmission here on FreightWaves TV. My name is Sebastian Blanco, and today we have with us Graham Dorley, the CEO and founder of Solo Advanced Vehicle Technologies, also known as Solo AVT. Graham, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Sebastian.
Really, really glad to hear to have you. Before we get into what Solo AVT is, what it's doing, what it's about to do, let's start a little bit with your personal history, because I feel like that kind of tells a story of why you are where you are, why you sort of helped found or why you founded Solo AVT in the first place.
Sure. Yeah. I'm an engineer through and through, and also an enthusiast of transportation, kind of all types. Let's see, I started my work back at Carnegie Mellon, so got an undergrad physics and materials, so really always had a love for technology and science. Went on to work in aerospace for a little bit. Thought, oh, that's going to be really cool. Turns out it's a lot of big companies doing really neat things, but you're sort of a smaller piece of that. So I ended up going to grad school to study robotics. I've always loved robots and machines. So went to Stanford. And when I left there was this small little job fair with about four companies. And this was 2010, if my memory serves. And one of those companies was Tesla Motors. And at the time, they had a little one table, and they said, hey, we're going to start building this car. Are you guys interested? And I said, yeah, go to LA. It'd be fun. So joined Tesla, was a vehicle engineer for them, worked on body structure, battery integration, chassis, suspension for the Model S. Saw that car through soup to nuts, honestly. It was an eye-opening experience. It really got me excited because it's electric and it's automotive, very cutting edge. So it was a lot of fun working there. And after a while, I said, you know, I want to stay in the cutting edge automotive or cutting edge transportation industry. And sort of the next step in my mind, since I like robots, is to move towards the autonomy industry. And actually, when I was at Carnegie Mellon, they were starting the kind of grand challenge days, the DARPA stuff. And then when I was at Stanford, they were doing more of the urban challenge kind of thing. So I was always around the autonomy businesses there. And then when I left Tesla, I knew that really the only company working on autonomy at that time was Google. And so I moved over to Google and joined there. At that time, they called it the Autonomous Car Project, or internally it was called Chauffeur. So I worked on the two-seat little bubble car, and then I worked on their minivan, their I-Pace, but spent the last several years, actually almost 5 years, at what would become Waymo, working on their heavy trucks. So it was very early on that team. The couple engineers and myself kind of, in essence, started it. We got acquired a Peterbilt 579, and we took the passenger car sensors from the minivan and put them on the 579 and started driving it around and got some attention. People thought it was really cool within the company. And we became this like kind of skunkworksy program, which eventually blossomed into what would become Waymo Via. And then my last year or two there, I spent doing kind of sensor architecture analysis for the heavy trucks. So I learned a heck of a lot about the freight industry, about PACCAR. And this is all public. So Waymo worked with PACCAR and then they worked with Daimler. So I got to know both of those companies really well and really understood the basis for heavy trucks, like what they're like, what some of their hurdles are, and why really that industry could use some change. And so that's really what started Solo AVT.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, people who can see who are watching this on video, not just listening to the podcast, can see the picture behind you on the wall of the truck we'll be talking about. But that's where everything comes together here. Your interest in autonomy and electric and these large vehicles, bringing us to the Solo EVT or the SD1. Sorry, Solo EVT is the company. SD1 is the truck. Tell us all about, or not all about it. Give us the introduction. We'll get into more details in just a second. But based on that picture, what will people see when they look at it? And then, you know, if they were to come and get an up-close view, what would they notice about it from anything under the hood, both from the autonomy side and the electric side? I know it's a lot, but we got some time here to get into it.
Happy to get into it. As an engineer, I will always be happy to get into the technical stuff. I use it to pull myself back, right? So so basically, what are we doing here at Solo AVT? We're really looking forward into the future of trucking and freight transportation and saying, what do we need to build to enable that future. So one could argue trucks that are on the road today, and this comes from experience working at Waymo and now out in the field here at Solo AVT, trucks are pretty basic. I mean, they've been that way for a long time for good reason. They're supposed to be less expensive and durable. However, when you try to take that existing platform of like frame rails with an engine and a cab and some drive axles in the back, and now you try to make them electric, and you say, I'm going to make a long haul, you know, battery electric truck, or I'm going to make an autonomous vehicle, it just doesn't work really well, because this is kind of cutting edge tech that needs a new architecture to really flourish and enable it, certainly to be efficient and commercially viable. So what we're doing here is we're creating a brand new truck platform. So we're a whole new vehicle. It's not a retrofit. And it's designed to be electric, long haul, and it's designed to have enable autonomy, right? So the key things here is it's a fully electric platform for long haul battery electric drive. We're targeting over 500 miles, and we're enabling autonomy through the platform. So the truck you see behind me, the SD1, that's our long-term vision, right? This is our truck that's going to be on the road without a human driver, full battery electric. And so when you kind of look under the hood, if you will, pun intended, yes, is you'll see a totally new architecture. This is nothing like what you're going to see on the road today. This really is to enable the future, so we can have long haul, clean, decarbonized freight transportation and enable autonomy. So there's e-axles, there's advanced battery systems, there are drive-by-wire systems. I mean, all of that comes together on this platform. And I shouldn't forget to mention, of course, that we have a very robust safety framework. We're taking kind of an almost an aerospace look at redundancy and safety. And so we have a highly redundant platform. That's something you're going to probably hear a lot more about as autonomy starts to come more and more into the forefront. And so we've thought through that already because we've worked in the autonomy industry. So our platform is going to be highly redundant, which makes it even more safe. So there's a lot more there. Happy to answer kind of any specific things you'd like to know about.
Well, let's start off right behind the truck itself. It, you know, in the picture, there's the trailer as well. Are you developing those two things in conjunction, or is the SD1 being designed to just replace the tractor side, and it can still be used with the, you know, probably millions of trailers that we have on the road today?
Yeah, good question. So my pie in the sky, if we could have everything we want, we would love to do the trailer too. As it stands right now, we're working solely on the tractor for the exact reason you just mentioned. In the United States, there's something like 6 to 10 trailers for every tractor. It's different in Europe because they're less space constrained. But here, trailers are much more of a commodity, though, with everything going on, they're harder to get. But in general, there's just many more of them. And so if you're trying to marry a single trailer with the tractor, it becomes harder to run logistics with that. Like operations become much more difficult. So right now we're focusing on the tractor. In fact, part of what you see behind me is that aerodynamic shape. And that's really being defined by the trailer, right? We're trying really hard to optimize the shape of the truck to be extremely slippery. In fact, we'll be the lowest drag vehicle, a truck on the road, but also to precondition the air, if you will, to have less of an impact by the trailer. And so we're sort of stuck with the trailers for right now, and the autonomy industry's thinking along the same way. So they're not going to be putting sensors on trailers yet. In the future, hopefully, we can start moving towards more aerodynamic, smarter trailers, which will really help with the efficiency too of the truck.
Mm-hmm. I remember the EPA's had the smart way tests with different sort of, you know, the ducktails on the back of trucks and the side skirts that help with aerodynamics. Yeah, there's a lot that could be done there, but I understand that trying to design both at once is maybe a bit more than you can chew at this point if you got to get the trucks done first before you can work on that. As you're developing it, thinking about, you know, the other trailers or the trailers other companies are going to put on there, does going electric reduce any of the weight capacity you can get? I know the big question with, you know, like electric pickup trucks is they can do so much that a gas or diesel powered pickup can do, except for towing. Towing is where it really hurts range, and it's really going to be difficult to find the, you know, enough energy capacity to, for someone to be able to tow their boat 300 miles. Like here, I'm here in Michigan, you know, to go up north, go to a lake, go to, you know, where you want to go, bring your snowmobiles, whatever. And if you're talking about semi trucks, you know, like you said, you're targeting 500 mile range, is that at the same weight capacity as today's, you know, trailers that they can be loaded up, or do you have to somehow, you know, we can't carry stuff that's as heavy?
Good question. That's something that's definitely on our mind. You know, at Solo, we tell the team here that every kilowatt matters. That every little thing we do on the platform is important. How much energy we're using means, you know, less energy, less battery, more range. Weight is also priority because we want to ensure we can haul our customers' loads. And so what we're targeting is the same weight of like a well-equipped diesel. And we think that we'll be able to hit that and get the 500 miles. And the way we're doing it is honestly, our truck really is a battery on wheels. It's a very large battery system, which we're building a truck around. And so much like you kind of highlighted the F-150, you know, that's got a sizable battery system, but we're looking at really making the whole core of the vehicle battery and taking into account the fact that you're going to be hauling kind of bigger loads. So we are planning to be able to do 500 miles at full capacity. So that'd be like the 82,000 pounds, 2,000 extra if you're not aware, is because we're electric. So you're allowed to actually take 2,000 extra pounds.
Okay. Is that dependent on some sort of future battery chemistry, or is it something you can envision? You know, I don't know what your timeline is. I guess let's start there. What is your sort of general timeline for the SDU1 moving forward, both in the initial testing, the, you know, prototype designs, and then moving into manufacturing? You said that's sort of your pie in the sky dream. What comes first, and when might be, let me see if I can get this joke to pronounce correctly. When can we eat that pie in the sky?
So just to clarify, the pie in the sky is the trailer part. The truck is certainly on schedule, and we do have a very detailed program outline for it. So we're looking to have our first test vehicles on road in 2023, and then we're going to have a larger fleet of vehicles in 2024. And actually, I'm happy to announce that we've started testing a vehicle about 4.5 weeks ago that we're going to be sharing some more publicly about soon. So we are on track to do that. So expect to see a lot more about us soon. The specific release date of the SD1, I can't tell you just yet, but it'll be not too distant future. And we are looking to go up into production and produce these here in the United States.
And can you talk a little bit about the steps you got to take to produce it? I believe you're working with some partners. You got Dassault Systems, your battery suppliers, ABS Energy. But talk a little bit about the parts you will do, the part you'll contract out. Where, you know, if you're going to produce them here in the U.S., where might that take place?
So we are working with a lot of tier ones. In fact, I just talked with our head of business here right before jumping on this call, and we had another one sign an agreement with us to supply parts. I can't tell you who those are yet, but I can say they're well known, and we have several that we're very, very excited about. One of the early things I learned at Tesla, and then again at Waymo, was if you don't have your supply base lined up immediately, early on, you get in a lot of trouble later, right? So people question all the time, how are you going to build this vehicle? It takes an army. You know, I'm not going to kid anybody and say, like, we're going to build it with a team here in Fremont. That's not true. You know, you need a large supply base. So we've been actively engaged with all of the big kind of tier one, either axles or, you know, motor, battery, whatever. You mentioned ABS, they've been great. They are supplying our battery systems. And we have, I could say, I'd love you, your part, other part of your question there is what steps you take. So once you get the supply base lined up, right, we have all these tier ones picked. We started working with them. We've started setting our specifications and requirements of what we're going to have. And then we set our product plan, which we've done. So our team really comes from the industry. You know, we have people here that have built 250,000 cars a year. So we understand what mass production takes, what those timelines look like. So we've set in a very detailed program schedule, a series of milestones, right? So in 23, we're going to have our first vehicle on the road. That's going to be testing powertrain componentry. In 24, it's a larger fleet, integrating with car customers. We do have some customers that I haven't quite announced yet, but we will soon. And then 25, 26, you're going to do a second build, right? That's going to be more production intense, and then you go into production. So you kind of take these iterations as you go. Usually they call them alpha, beta, pre-production, and production in the kind of the automotive world. So that's sort of what we're targeting, that sort of game plan.
Okay. There's so much else to do in order to get a truck like this on the road, including, of course, you know, the rules surrounding autonomous vehicles. You know, you hear some states are better than others about allowing AVs to be tested and then with a safety driver, without a safety driver. Are you doing anything sort of on that front, not just so that you can sort of file the paperwork for your own vehicles to be tested, because like you said, Waymo had, you know, you worked at Waymo, they had to do that. A lot of people are doing that. That's sort of, you know, table stakes there. But as far as any sort of advocacy or lobbying at the state or local levels, sort of helping the governments that you'll be interacting with get ready for AVs, because it's a whole new world for them too.
Absolutely. So we've been actively looking at the landscape. Currently, we're focused on really building the technology, right? Because without having a vehicle, there's nothing to regulate or evaluate. And so our primary focus now is, of course, building the platform. However, we've been talking with states across the union and various DOTs, and we've been talking with NHTSA and understanding what their take is. And I've been pleasantly surprised, actually, when I left the world of Waymo. You know, we were in the kind of belly of the beast, if you will, for so long. And you kind of come out and you say, what's this landscape like? And upon talking with a lot of the states and even the federal government, we found that the question wasn't if autonomy is going to happen, but how we can have it happen and when that's going to happen. And so very happy about that. So it's good to see that there's momentum going into getting autonomy on the road and scalable. In a scalable fashion. I've also been happy to see some states are already allowing it and are trying to push that forward. So we've obviously been talking with them. But we're keeping a pulse on what's going on. And we're looking at different ways to get our vehicles on the road. But again, we're just mostly focused on the truck right now.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. You're right. You gotta have step one. Going back to the idea of producing in the US, obviously the Inflation Reduction Act had a huge impact on sort of electric vehicles in the United States, both how consumers can get them, the tax credit situation, but perhaps more importantly, the issues of where they're going to be assembled and built, where their materials are going to come from. A lot of that in there, or some of it in there for the first time, kind of opened some of the incentives up for heavy duty vehicles. Last week we had on Director Shah from the Advanced Technology Vehicle Manufacturing Loan Program. I forget the exact acronym, but he was sort of putting into context for us about how this really changes some of the long-term thinking that the government has. What does the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, mean for solo AVT and maybe a large electric truck market in a broader sense?
Everything, frankly. And you did get the acronym right. It's the ATVM, the Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing. So what does it mean for us? It's so much, honestly. We're really, really happy to see the IRA passed. There's, as you pointed out, there's capital in there for factories, right? Either building or retooling factories for EV production. Of course, that is something that we find very interesting and are actively looking at because we are looking to produce these vehicles here in the United States. There's also capital in there for battery development, production, and we're actively looking at that and how we can help on that front too. There's multiple billions of dollars really being put forth here. And it's good to see that the government's putting effort behind developing this technology. So we see a lot of opportunities for Solo to both submit and hopefully get some of this money to help us advance our program and development cycle. But on top of that, I mean, both directly to the IRA and indirectly is the amount of subsidies for heavy trucks. So California, you're probably aware, has, I believe, 120,000 available for purchases of new zero emission vehicles, heavy vehicles in this state. There's something like 14 or 15 other states actively looking at doing similar. And then the IRA allocates, I believe, another $40,000. So it's almost 160,000 or possibly more per EV truck, heavy truck you're going to buy here in California, at least, which is tremendous, right? That takes a big chunk out of the barrier to entry for a lot of these carriers to get involved. So across the board, whether it be the deployment in factories and manufacturing, the development of battery system, even charging infrastructure, and the purchase of the trucks, across every aspect, it's really been helpful. And we're super, super excited.
Mm-hmm. Are there, you mentioned, you know, thinking of applying, or maybe you already are in process of applying. Are there any parts of the, for those vehicle loans, but are any parts of the IRA that really directly affect something that you're changing how you're doing at Solo, or, you know, maybe thinking, well, in the future, we should think of this because the IRA allows us to do that?
I don't know if it's necessarily changed so much as helped move our timeline. I'd say that's one of the bigger things, right? So again, you mentioned it, the Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing Program, the direct loan program, that's tremendous to us, right? That alone helps us move into factories and production, which of course, is capital intensive. So that helps us bring it forward and deploy faster and speed up some of the development through the acquisition of tooling. So that's really been something that we've been super interested in, that specific area.
Yeah, I think you'll have some competition on that front as well, which is obviously a good thing. Going back to the SD1 itself, because I keep seeing it there and I keep wanting to ask more questions about it. I've seen pictures of it online, and you have some rendering videos of the truck moving and things. It still kind of looks like it might have a driver. And I know it's designed to be all autonomous, but there's a space that kind of looks like it could be for a cabin. And I'm guessing some of that design is because that's the most aerodynamic. And as we all know, aerodynamics play such a key role in a range for an electric vehicle, as big or small. Can you tell us a little bit about why the design turned out this way, and especially that shape in the middle that looks kind of like a cabin, but obviously isn't in this case?
Good question. Yeah, it does look somewhat like a truck, and that's purely driven by aerodynamics, right? So one of our head of aero actually comes from Tesla, and prior to that, he was in Formula One. And so we use a lot of computation to define the shape of the truck, right? So we look at how we can make it the slipperiest truck on the road, and what it will take to get there. And so a lot of the shape you see is based off of racing technology, also very efficient aero technology. And underneath the truck, there's actually quite a lot going on that you can't see in the picture. But that shape is really to precondition the air for the trailer. So it's a bit longer. So you've got a bit, you can kind of shape the air in a slower fashion, which helps reduce drag. So that's really what defines it. And it just happens that, yes, there's a space which kind of looks like a cab, because really you're just dragging a giant wall behind you. So you have to shape it a certain way to get up to that height and that width, and while still having some tires up front.
Do you have a coefficient drag number you're able to announce for the truck, or is that proprietary still at this time?
We have a target which we're already looking to hit in simulation. Once we have that more refined, we'll be happy to release it. But I'm very excited about what it is, so I think it's going to be pretty good news.
There's so many little things. Talking with some of the designers in the EV passenger car world, the small changes that they can make to get, you know, 4 counts here, 2 counts there to improve the CD number, it's just really, it's amazing what little things can do. So I can imagine you've had a lot of iterations, or at least little attempts at changing things here and there to get to the targets that you're trying to hit, right?
Absolutely. There's tons you can do. We have active aerodynamics on the vehicle that we're going to be sharing more about in the near future. And that's a big part. As I mentioned, there's a lot of underbody activity going on too, because underneath that trailer, there's a set of wheels back there that basically are big walls and that sit below, and you've got the landing gear and any cabling or airlines that are hanging down. So that all adds a lot of drag. So unlike the passenger car industry, where you kind of define the shape entirely of what you're doing, we're stuck because we have to haul this box that we don't always have control over. And so we're always trying to minimize the amount of impact that box has. And my memory serves, aero drag from the trailer is about 70%, if not more, of total energy used when driving at speed. So that's a big chunk of the whole pie, right, that you're losing just because of that trailer. So there's only so much you can do in the tractor before the trailer dominates it. And so it's always a matter of kind of weighing those options and how you can pre-treat the air effectively.
Well, it's a strong case to be made for, at some point, like you said, way down in the future, to standardize something when it comes to let's make these trailers a little, doesn't have to be, you don't have to change the shape. It can still be a box, but you can add, I don't know what would help it to be more aerodynamic. As you said, there's so many, you know, the angles that you're working on could carry over then to the truck, and then at the back end of the truck as well, to just make the whole thing more efficient. As we're wrapping up, you only have a few minutes left. What do you sort of envision as, like, obviously the best case scenario for you would be all the trucks on the road being, you know, some sort of SD1 or the SD2 or whatever would come next. But what do you see as in the next 5 years in the long range trucking industry? We have people working on hydrogen, et cetera, as a reasonable amount of progress that you would say, you know, we're doing our thing, they're doing their thing, and overall we're getting better. Do you see like so much happening that you're optimistic? I'm guessing the answer is yes, but I kind of want to hear you say it.
Yes. So, but to give more color around that, I think, so I mentioned kind of coming out of the autonomy industry in starting solo, I was really impressed by what the states were doing for autonomy. Well, we also talked a lot with all the major, not everyone, but a significant number of the major carriers out in the country. Just pick any big name, and we've probably talked to them now. And what's impressed me a lot is just how devoted they are to decarbonizing their fleets and pushing for zero emission vehicles. You know, they're really interested in autonomy, but they're extremely interested in electrification like yesterday. So I've been really happy to see that there's a commercial drive now to get electric trucks on the road. It's not just we'll try it and maybe we'll have two. We've had some customers ask us with a blank check, how many electric heavy trucks can you make us next year? I mean, candidly, that was said to us. So that there's this constant demand and it's only growing as we go along. And this is pre-IRA as well. So that's only making it even more, a stronger case. So we see a world where in the next few years, we're going to see a lot more electric heavy trucks on the road. And by the end of the decade, we're going to see a lot more heavy autonomous electric trucks on the road. And I frankly, am really happy about that.
Yeah, well, it's a fascinating thing to pay attention to. So thank you so much for sharing your whole project with our audience today. That was Graham Dorley, the CEO and founder of Solo Advanced Vehicles Technologies. Graham, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sebastian. It was my pleasure.
And everyone else, we'll talk to you next week.